So I feel like James Bond at the moment. So I just need a white cat and then we're away. And we're going to try and project our voices as best we can. Marcus and I were talking about this and Marcus said, no problem, because of course in the kitchen environment that won't be a problem. So I just want to thank Marcus for his time, actually. And I've known Marcus 9 years now, 10 years next year. And also we've got a deep and a good connection, actually, with Marcus Waring at the Barclay and the Gilbert Scott. We've got a student who originally did a placement with Shona Caithness, who's now working full-time for you. Yep. We've also got a placement student there, and we've also got a postgraduate student. So fantastic connection. Yeah. So I just want to start with a few questions, and as Stephen said, we're then going to move over and offer you the opportunity to ask a few. So the first one really is, if possible, Marcus, if you could just maybe set the scene a little bit, talk through your career, where you're at now, and sort of what's led to that.
Sure. Well, thank you, John, for the introduction, and really nice to be here. Not something I do often, no. Especially when I'm supposed to be in service right now. but there's been a huge amount of effort from John and Sheffield with three fabulous students in my kitchen at the moment, which is, you know, doing incredibly well and setting the scene for their future. For me, I've never been as lucky as sort of you guys, such as being in university. For me, catering started at a very young age of 10, 11, worked my way through kitchens while at school. And then I, at the age of 16, went to catering college in Southport and just did 2 years of cookery, cookery school, which also was a full-time course, which was not something I wanted to do because I wasn't really interested in front of house, wine, French language, learning how to hoover a bedroom or anything. But I was sort of forced into it by my father and my brother. I've got to say, it was probably the best 2 years that I remember of my education. Because I saw things that I didn't know existed, which was the other side of the kitchen sink, so to speak. From there, I entered a competition, and I was very fortunate to meet a man called Jack Neighbour, who was head of catering at South Trafford College, who was a judge, a lovely gentleman, who opened probably the biggest door of my life, which was a door to the Savoy. And at the age of 17, in this particular competition, he invited me to come and meet Anton Edelman. And I suppose to a certain extent the rest is history for me, because I grabbed it with both hands and off I went. And at the age of 18 I was standing in Anton's office with seven other chefs, being told that, right, this is the start of your career. Literally just turned 18, and I got marched down to the fish section in the Savoy Hotel, and I was left there for 6 months with a lot of cold fish, a lot of cuts and a lot of tears before bedtime, because it was hell. but I thoroughly, strangely enough, enjoyed it. But that was the start of the sort of stability of my career and the building blocks. Savoy for a year and a half to 2 years. From there, from five-star deluxe hotel, I wanted to see the other side of the spectrum, which was fine, fine dining. And literally, I just knocked on the door of Le Gavroche, Albert Roux, three-star Michelin. And cheekily, said, can I have a job? And had a very strange interview with Michelle. And a week later, I had a letter in the post offering me a job. Handed my notice in to the Savoy, to the dismay of Anton. Didn't really like that because I was leaving. But when he said, well, ask me where I was going, he was incredibly impressed with that. But he did say, you won't survive. I'll never forget that. Yeah, I hope you never survive and come back. I made that point that I did survive. That's where I met my future business partner, Gordon Ramsay. I then went off to upstate New York to work in the Adirondack Mountains, went back to Europe to work in Holland to learn bakery and pastry. From Holland, I came back to the UK to work at Gravetown Manor in Sussex. Wanted to work in a beautiful country house hotel, moved up the ranks. And then I went to join Pierre Kaufman at Le Tonte Claire, just by pure accident. Came back into London at the age of 23, and on my sort of interview there, I went downstairs into the kitchen and, strange enough, bumped into Gordon Ramsay, who I'd previously worked at as a commis chef at Le Gavroche, where we met when I was 19. Joined Pierre. Pierre's kitchen was the latest three-star in London at the Royal Hospital Road. And the week I started was the week Gordon Ramsay decided to hand his notice in. And one of the main reasons why I went to work for Pierre was because Gordon was there and Pierre had just won three stars. Pierre was a very odd chef to work for. I'd be here all night telling you. Absolute genius and a man of his era. But you know, he was just a very different chef that I was working for. Gordon left to open the aubergine, and I joined him literally 2 or 3 weeks later because I wanted to stand next to someone who was going to drive me to the brink. And trust me, that is something that man did do. I joined the aubergine at the age of 23 as the sous chef, and my CV on paper was beautiful. It read great things. It said I was a great chef. I got all the qualifications that anyone needed. But I didn't realise one thing. I wasn't a good chef. I was an average chef, and I was an average person in a kitchen wearing whites. And when I went into a kitchen like the aubergine, it exposed my weaknesses. Now, the one thing Gordon was a great man at exposing people's weaknesses, and I think we all see that day to day on telly from time to time. And he was a master at it. But what he was a master of leadership. And I think leadership is key to the future of how we move forward. From there, I spent 2 years of what was probably the real, considered for me to be the real Hell's Kitchen of all time. I've never experienced anything quite like it. But the thing about it was, when I used to talk to my customers about it, first thing they'd say was, why would you do that? Why would you take that abuse? Why would you, you know, get up and do those amazingly stupid hours? Why? Because I wanted to. No one forced me. We're very lucky in this part of the world that when we wake up in the morning, I think we should, and we do have a choice of what we can do if we put our minds to it. And it was my choice to go to that kitchen. And it was that kitchen that turned me around and made me question what I wanted to do. From there, I went to New York again. And then from there, I went to Paris to work at the Guy Savoy 3-star Michelin. And then I got a call back from Gordon to say, I've got something I'd like you to see. Put me on a train, came back from Paris for a day, and was sat in a restaurant called L'Orange, it was called Overton's in St. James's, on a Sunday when it was closed. And basically it was, do you want it? This is yours. Partnership, and off we go. Went back to Paris, gave my notice, and at the age of 25, I opened my first restaurant with him. Did that for 2.5 years. Gordon and I moved on from our partners, AZ Restaurants. Gordon launched Royal Hospital Road, and I launched Petrus 6 months later. I ran that for 10 years, 5 years in St. James, 5 years at the Barclay, and then we had the one almighty bust up. And here I am.
Thank you. Yeah, I can relate.
I was trying to make that sure, but it's almost impossible.
No, that's interesting. Having worked for Gordon Ramsay for 3.5 years myself, I can relate to exposing the weakness bit. Thank you. So thank you very much for that. It really sets the scene. So one of the other questions I want to ask is, most of the people here are shortly going to be moving into industry. So
yes,
they've been studying for a period of time. So what is it that you would look for as an employer? The sorts of things, characteristics that you'd look for that are very important to you, maybe, if you're going to employ someone?
For me, in both restaurants, one being fine dining and the other being brasserie, the principles of the employee is the same. What I'm looking for in the kitchen, front of house, or in any part, is an open-minded individual, somebody who is willing to sit and listen, understand what it is I want. But on the same time, the most important thing is that I listen to what you want. And understand that you are in the right place. Communication and talking and asking questions when you're going into interviews is very, very important.
Right.
Self-respect, the way you present yourself, obviously your CV, you know, we all know that. But I think it's the willingness of being in the right place, John.
Right.
And I think it's down to you and your team to make sure that people are in the right place. And they need to expose themselves. I think we all have dreams of where we want to be and what we want to do. The key is to fulfil those dreams. But also, I think the most important thing is the path that you take. During my journey that I just explained, there's a lot of hardship, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of sacrifice, but there's also a lot of joy and enjoyment and a lot of satisfaction of working hard and being part of what I consider to be the most amazing industry. I have 3 children at home, and I'd love them all to come into this industry. I think it's an amazing industry. You just have to approach it with the right manner.
Right.
But the candidates, what we're looking for, is just listen to us. So if you're going to come and be with me, what you learn from my company, from my team, is something that you take as education, you store it, you move on to the next thing, you use that experience, and you grow your experience, and you grow what you're learning, so that you become a better, more rounded person. I think that's what I'm looking for, an open-minded individual. You don't need to be a great chef to come and stand in my kitchen. You need to be someone who wants to meet me halfway.
Right, thank you. Okay, that's very useful, I'm sure, for everyone. So just building on that, would you mind, because we've had this discussion a little bit earlier about the fact that you've got some graduates now in your business, so would you mind talking about that and maybe what they bring to your business?
Well, there's three. I mean, the first one was Shauna, and I can never forget the morning Shauna came into the kitchen, because she got into the kitchen via Patrice, which was through Gordon Ramsay Holdings.
Right.
So through the HR department, sometimes people would just turn up into your kitchen and you wouldn't really know who they were. So I was on the kitchen table and I saw this young lady working on the canopy section, and I didn't know who she was, and no one bothered to introduce me to her. But I watched her for a while. What I did spot was a natural, an absolute talent, had never really worked in a kitchen before. No. But what she had was a presence about herself and a way to move around the kitchen, which I just thought, wow. And I actually, after 2 hours of sitting there watching her, I did then finally get up and go and speak to her and asked her where she'd worked, and she hadn't really worked anywhere.
No, not much.
She hadn't worked anywhere at all, apart from really just studying.
Yeah,
but what
right.
she did have was this fantastic approach, and she managed to work her way around the kitchen and really, for that particular year, exposed herself to a lot of different things. But what I think she found was she was actually placed by you in the right place.
That's right.
And I think that was the most important. And she had this fantastic passion and understanding for food, that once you find that, you can only but expose it. And now she's a key figure in my kitchen. She then left after her year, finished her studying, and came back. And she's now a senior sous chef, one of the sous chefs in my kitchen, who has spent quite a lot of time in pastry. She's now worked her way around to the kitchen. She can now stand in my kitchen. She'll be there tonight on my hot plate while I'm sitting here talking to you. But what I have got there is someone who I trust. And there's a fabulous relationship of trust there with my other head chef and my executive chef. She's part of a management team. But what she brought to the table for me was she wasn't like a chef, and she's probably not born to be a cook all of her life, because what I see in her is something different. I see this as a period of time in her life where she's gaining a great experience to be able to move on to something else. And there's another young lady who works for me called Chantelle Nicholson, who 7.5 years ago was in New Zealand. She's a New Zealander, and she was studying law, and she'd passed all of her law exams, and decided, she was just bored, she found it boring, and the Gordon Ramsay Scholarship was in New Zealand, of which my head chef, Josh Emmett at the Savoy, was judging. So she decided, just for a bit of fun, to enter this competition, because she loved cookery. So she did. She didn't win it, but what she did do, she met Josh, and Josh said to all of the guys that were there, if you're ever in London and you want to come spend some time with us at Savoy, please come and join us. Well, the next minute she's on a plane, and she's there, and she's in the kitchen. She spent a year and a half working her way through the Savoy kitchen, and then she came over to Petrus, because my contract finished with the Savoy, and that kitchen sort of came to an end. She then spent some time, she's been in my kitchen for 4 years. So from a law student with a passion for food, she then went through all of the stations in my kitchen. She spent a good 2 years in pastry. She co-authored 3 of my cookery books, because I found that there was something a little bit different inside here that made her a little bit different to your normal sweaty chef that stands on a stove and has only been to catering college. There was something more, which was the knowledge, the sort of the brain. She had the degree, she could write, she could use computers, she could do accounts, she understood HR. So there was something there. And I didn't know that was there until I had a conversation with her when she was going through a bit of a rough time. So I threw this project at her, which was writing a cookery book with me. And I just threw more recipes and ideas. I had everything in my head for this book, but I didn't know how to put it onto paper. I was never trained in how to write. I was trained in how to cook. But I didn't know how to get my idea to the page, but I just found someone who did. And that's how this relationship grew. She's now the general manager of the Gilbert Scott and also a part shareholder. She's now running a multi-million pound company, and that job and that hotel, that restaurant is her responsibility. And she's going to be a very, very wealthy lady one day on the condition that she makes it successful. And the effort that she's put into it and her future is down to her. Mm. 7 years ago, she was just another cook in a kitchen who had just come from New Zealand.
Yep.
And I just found that the most amazing story.
Right.
But what I did feel from her was that there was more than a kitchen hot plate. Her time in the kitchen was getting to where she wanted to go. And we were talking earlier about John. What I saw was her, with some chefs you see you're set for chefing and you can spend your life in a kitchen and maybe a chef, of an owner of a restaurant. What I saw in her was that she'd be wasted at the hot plate. I saw business opportunity. That young lady will go and turn between 7 and 12 million pounds per annum and take a slice of the cake at the end of it. And she's only worked for me for 7 years.
Right.
And I find that amazing. Fantastic. She's 30 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
Amazing. Shauna is on the same journey.
Yes. Thank you. I mean, I think that's a fantastic support for studying and going to university and what you can bring, and Marcus recognising that. Actual fact, I remember speaking to Chantelle on day two when she was in the pastry at the Savoy Grill. I'll just ask one more question if I can, and then throw it open to everyone else.
Absolutely.
I just you just mentioned there the Gilbert Scott at the St. Yes. Pancras Hotel. Could you maybe talk briefly about that, the sort of challenges of
Sure.
running a two Michelin star restaurant and opening a new one? And
why I did it? Well, basically, the Gilbert Scott was something that just dropped into my inbox, and I get invited to see lots of things. I get invited to catering companies to talk about ideas, running restaurants in sort of buildings like this. And I almost deleted this, and Chantal happened to be in my office, and I turned the computer around, and it was a picture of the St. Pancras Station, that beautiful building. I said, "What do you think of that?" Of course, as a Kiwi, she loves the architecture. It's like, wow, that's just the most stunning. You know, one thing we have in this country is great architecture and some fabulous buildings. We're actually in one right now. And she said, "Well, let's just go and see it." I thought, okay, fine, fair enough, here we go. So off we went with my wife and Chantal, and we walked into the St. Pancras, which was a building site. And there's just something about one day, all of you, maybe just one of you in here, but could it be all of you? One day you'll walk into something, and inside you, you'll think, "I've got to do this." Something will just grab you and you think, "This is right for me." It could be a job, it could be a piece of work you do for your course, it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be something, it could be anything. But when I walked into that building, I thought, "This is something I really want to be part of." The key to that was Chantal.
Right.
The key to it was that I was never going to do a project just for the sake of wanting to expand the business. I could only do that project on people and work, having people around me, but having the right people. We then spearheaded the project. And we worked with Harry Handelsman, the owner of this beautiful building.
Yeah,
and the whole thing sang British food, British luxury, late 18th century. We dug deep very much into the old cookery books, Elizabeth Beaton, John Knott, to the late 1800s. And what's quite interesting in this country, we've never really been recognised for British cuisine. But actually, we've always been part of the European community. It's like being in New York and saying we're not part of the United States. UK is part of the European community, and we should value that in our cookery, because if you actually go back into the late 1800s and you take Elizabeth Beaton cookbook, it's riddled with all of the food of the European market and what France, Italy, Greece and Spain do. And that was part of our culture. Unfortunately, we've just forgotten about it over the years, because eating and drinking was never part of the British table. We did something different when we went through the 1900s, and it wasn't quite the same. We didn't produce wine. We didn't produce great ingredients and great produce. We did the basics. We did other things. We had industry. We had all sorts of car making, manufacturing. We didn't produce wine and food, and it wasn't part of our table.
Right.
But what the Gilbert Scott has given me an insight into the past. And to be able to move forward, you need to know your past. You need to know where you come from. It's a bit like education. If you've no education, it's very difficult to move forward.
Right.
I was explaining to John earlier, when I left college at the age of 17, and came to London, my life was about kitchens. It really was about a white jacket. In the white jacket, into a kitchen, working hard, going home, sleeping, doing the same again, and again, and again, and again. And it was absolutely relentless. The sacrifice was for the future. And during that journey, I met some most amazing people, worked in some most amazing places. I met my wife. I met people like Gordon. I entered into the world of business. I've worked very hard. I've cried a lot in between. I've wondered, why the hell am I doing this? But I've also sat in positions where I thought, I've been awarded a Michelin star and thought, that's why I do it. Or I've been given an award. Or I've made a lot of money. Or whatever. But there's a reason for doing it. But I think the most important thing is it's about you as individuals, yourself, respect for yourself, respect for the industry, and being very vocal and communicating what you want to get out of your career.
Right.
But I don't care what anyone says to me in this room or anywhere, you're not going to get anywhere in this industry without a bit of graft, unfortunately.
Right, thank you. Very candid sort of expression there. So shall I just ask a few questions from the audience? Thank you for that, Marcus. So who wants to start? So we've got about
that
sort of
always
five...
happens.
Okay, just gentleman at the front here.
What's the best and worst bit of
The best bit, it was probably the biggest, fastest roller coaster ride you'll ever want to be on in life. It was amazing. Lovely guy. The bitter flavour of what happened between me and him was completely over. We're two very different people today, and I wouldn't be sitting on this stage without him. He taught me how to question. He showed me direction. He showed me leadership. And he also became a very, very good friend. The worst part about it was that, I suppose, from my side of it, was that there was someone else came into the equation of business. And when we started that company, it was all about chefs and food and running restaurants. Afterwards, it became something very, very different. And I think everybody meets different people, and businesses are always going to be run somewhere down the line by figures and finance. And unfortunately, hospitality is about being generous, being hospitable, and there's a level of generosity you must have. Greed is a very, very strange thing, and money does very strange things to people. And I think that was probably the worst bit. And it was never about Gordon. It was always about someone else. It was the father-in-law who ran the business. And it was such a shame, because I would have worked for that guy forever, because we had an amazing relationship. Worst bit? I suppose there really wasn't one. It was a shame. We fell out was probably the worst bit. But people go like that. But I think that's also part of our life, and I'm glad it's happened, because I've become a better person. I've become an individual, and I'm now in a position where I can bring other people to the table. There's only one thing that never happened that really sort of niggles me, and I can be very open about it, is that when someone says, let's make a cake together, and when you've made the cake and you've iced it and it looks beautiful, and you're told that you can have a slice, then I think you should have your slice. And that was the only thing I never had, was a slice of the cake. And that's why I want someone like Chantelle, who we are making a cake, she'll have her piece. And it'll be a very nice piece. And she'll enjoy it and get probably very fat. But that's the bit, that's the one thing I vowed moving forward, I would never, ever, and I will never do to anyone that I promise anything to. I will deliver, because I think it's only fair in life. And I remember I put 15 years in for those people.
Thank you. Marcus can't resist a food analogy, can he? It just has to bring food into it. Sorry, of course. Have we got, because we've got a couple more minutes, have we got any other questions? Okay, so thank you.
Hi.
What are your aspirations for the future?
I think I'm 41. I've run my own company now for just going on 3 years. I have two restaurants. I think, yeah, it's easy for me to, I suppose, sit here and say, I'd love to win 3 Michelin stars. I'd love to win lots of things, but you're at the mercy of someone else. And as I get a little bit older, I find that politics is very much an important part of being able to move forward and how to move forward. That may not be important right now for the people in the room, but it certainly is for the future. What I want to see is expansion, but only by the people that work around me. I don't need to expand. I've got everything I need. I've got the money that I have, I make more than enough than I need. But I'd like to see opportunities and chances arise. I'd like to make opportunities for people. And I'd like to be able to step to one side of it and let someone else sort of springboard off what I've created. I'm never going to take on the world. I never want to see my name in neon lights all over the world. I have one name that sits above one restaurant. And whatever I do from that point onwards will always be about other people. And if they don't want to do that, I'm absolutely fine. But I think I love discovering talent. And what sort of makes you grow up as a chef, eventually, because we are idiots and kids at times, and we don't think straight, and we do shout and square, and we do some very odd things. Children make you wake up and smell the coffee. I have a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-year-old. And there's times in my house that I talk to them like they're chefs, and I have to pinch myself and think, these guys are kids. They shouldn't be being sworn at. yeah. My 10-year-old can make tea now. I love it. And he hates the fact that he actually exposed himself to that. But I think I really want to focus on people now and want to expose them. And I think Shauna and the two guys that are with us are really great examples. I see them as someone else's sons and daughters, and there's always two sides to a story, and the people that fail with me always only ever tell one side, but the people that succeed, the people that go home and tell two sides of the story, my side and their side, and their parents come and see their daughters and sons who work incredibly long hours And they've only ever heard their son or daughter complain about the hours and the hard work and how crap it is to live and work in London. Yeah, it is tough. But then when they come to the restaurant and see them and taste the food and see them in production, they walk and talk, listen to me, they walk away feeling very proud of what their sons and daughters have done. And I walk away feeling that if I can just get one person up there to the top, then I'm going to be a very happy man. And I just hope that someone does that to my three children one day, whatever industry they're in. That's all I long for. So for every young individual that's with me, they mean something because that's someone's son or daughter.
Thank you. Thank you. That's actually perfect timing. And what I'd like to say about that, I'd like to thank Marcus for his time with that and very candid. And you can probably get this just in this short moment because I've experienced this when I was working with Marcus and Gordon as well. Incredibly motivated, really passionate about it, and that's really important. So thank you very much, Marcus. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Marcus, thank you. Thank you very much.
That's
I'll
leave to
Tony. I think Tony's going to see you.
No,
and I'm over. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.